for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
This evening I'm going to be speaking on the Good Soldier. Before I share anything on the message that the Lord impressed on my heart a few minutes ago, let me just say that I've heard some things here in the last day or so. Particularly, I've heard a number of statements on prosperity. Let me just say that I believe that God is going to raise up in the last days houses of Joseph. I hadn't heard this from anybody. This is just what He dropped in my spirit when He did something for me. And I believe there are going to be places of refuge. There are going to be places where there are going to be large amounts of funds and fuel and resources and substance if we are not stingy. How you handling it right now is going to be how you're not going to be able to make it in the last days. And God has given to me and He's given to many of you. See, the prosperity movement, they mixed it up. They got everybody sitting out there. They got 100 people. And they're telling all 100 they're going to have it. God may just give five up, and five of them got to take care of 95. And we're not seeing that in the last days. But God used Joseph to protect his family and posterity, his dad and his brothers in the family. And so we need to see that in the last days, that what you accumulate is not for you. Every dime I have, and my wife may beg to differ sometime on it, it's for the kingdom. And I'm a living witness that you got to live holy. You want to be a good soldier? I'm going to tell you something. All of those testings and those trials and those wilderness experiences and that barely made the bills paid and paid your last money to fill up the tank of car to go to a Lake Hamilton camp 5 years ago. All those things, God is taking note of that. He is taking note of that. And when you're ready and you've got the issue with selfishness out of the way and you've got pride out of the way and you've got things and issues that deal with finances, but it doesn't mean anything because you have surrendered your all that you might have His all, and He'll pour into you, but He's going to let you know it's just not for you. Not that I got a couple $100,000 in the bank. It is the kingdom's couple $100,000 in the bank. And I know it's to help fuel the kingdom. And so I think that if you will consider what I say, as I'm led by the Lord to share this with you today, and start praying for what you need, and start praying for the kingdom's need, then God will be able to give you the need because He can trust you to give it to the kingdom. All right. I just retired May 1st of my company, and I intend to make five times what I made last year. So I'm already thinking about how to give it to the kingdom next year. You got to start thinking how you can do things for God. I remember when they told me in the emergency room 17 years ago, I buried my mother May the 23rd this day, 2 years ago, and they told me my mother wouldn't make it through the night. So I went upstairs and I cried to the Lord, said, Lord, I'll fast, I'll do this, I'm going to do that. Specifically gave Him certain things I was going to do I had never done before. And He held me to it. And He kept my mother alive till she was 70, 15 years later. Well, that same principle operates for prosperity. I'm not talking about just prosperity and finances. I'm looking at the whole embodied resource of the body of Christ, spirit, soul, and body. All right. I don't want to get too far with that. A few years ago, one of the nation's highly acclaimed authors of one of the most top 10 books in the world came to visit me in Beaumont, Texas. He came in other places that we are familiar with here. I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, in my presence, he vowed, I'm not into vows, by the way, are committed to sending great resources to this ministry. And I hadn't seen a dime of it. I don't need to see nothing. So be careful, all those who come and tell you what they're going to do for you. He sat down in front of me while my senior pastor was in front of me, Brother Harlan Dean, and a bunch of people sitting down there. And he looked at me. When they turned their backs, he said, you know, I came here for you. I said, I beg your pardon? He said, Jim Landry, I came here for you. He was telling me to break away from my apostolic covering because he needed probably a man of color and go help him build his ministry. It was already big. Some people can't be big enough. Now, I'm not going to tell you no names ever, so don't ever come this way. It ain't going to happen. But I got to make sure in my spiritual God, and I ain't judging. I'm giving you some experience from something that's over 5 to 8 years ago, so I'm not talking out of any pain or anything. I'm talking out of experience. I very seldom will say something that happened yesterday, today. Right, it has to be 8, 10 years old. Make sure I'm free. And so tonight I want to share with you a little bit about being a good soldier, because we are in a time where prophetically we're seeing nations come against nations and earthquakes in different diverse places. I am a past active duty serviceman from the past Vietnam era. My dad served in Korea. He was taken as a prisoner of war. The other guy that was taken with him, they never found him. My dad was able to break away. He followed the stars. He told me how he did it. When he had to run across enemy lines, pass across enemy lines, he said he ran. He followed the Milky Way or something, he said. He knows how to do. He still knows that. He understands how to find his way out of the desert, I guess. And so we came up on a very patriotic family. And not that we had celebrations, but I call him every Memorial Day and wish him a happy Veterans Day. I have every Veterans Day and wish him a happy Veterans Day. Likewise, I call several friends of mine all around the nation. I have friends now that they have curses that have been imposed upon them by physicians, by the, people in high places, saying if you served in Vietnam and you're going to get prostate cancer, you're probably going to have problems with diabetes, hypertension, and many of the veterans. And two of my personal friends right now are in recovery from surgery with cancer. One of them crashed 2 helicopters. It's another thing he was involved in. I can't tell you. It made international history. They made a movie about it. He was one of the soldiers when the lieutenant says, kill them all. And that's all I can say. And these people gave their lives and for the fight for our nation. And how dare us even consider surrendering that privilege and destroying the gates around our border that God has given us. How dare us even commit or even suggest or even consider the thought that we want to have peace with our enemies. So anyway, I just want to talk a little bit tonight about the spiritual side, but how many knows there's terrorism in the spirit? Oh Lord, I'm saying all day I want to get out of that one. So, I know that there's terrorism in the spirit. And we need to know that there's wars going on in the spirit as well as there's wars. But I still have to honor our troopers that were eating sand and rations. And when they took down the strong man of Baghdad, they got my blessings and my respect. And I will continue to support those that support our God. And that are against the homosexual agenda, not the people, but the agenda, and the those that are that stand along with me and other Christians against abortion, and many other spiritual laws that are applicable and tend not to come up in the political arena. I am not a political preacher, but I just, since we're going to talk a little bit about being a soldier for the Lord, I thought it'd be applicable to share a couple of parallels, and you might need to know where I stand. I think some of you have figured it out already. This evening, I'd like to share a little bit about the soldiers' ministry. You and I are soldiers of the Lord, I hope. And if you're not a soldier, you will be commissioned very shortly. Because I don't think you're here by any accident. Of course, the enemy will have you thinking that you're out on a boat out there in the middle of the Gulf somewhere, and sinking in the shark-infested waters. But anyway, you'll figure it out sooner or later. You'll come out fighting. That's the way he makes some of us feel, you know. Been there, done that. I'm not preaching out of something I studied last night. I'm Monday, Tuesday, for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for Saturday, Sunday, etc. So I want to share a little bit about some of the equipment that God has given us, the giftings, the qualifications that mark a good soldier. A good soldier. God has provided each a believer that desires to work a mark. Amen? Now the question might be, and I got this from Pastor Dean many years ago. Sister Dean used to collect these stickers that go on the back of cars. And I had a van I kept about 12 years. I just recently given it to my brother, I think in October, November. My brother needed a vehicle, I just gave it to him. And certainly he's having fun, because right on the dashboard it says something like that. If you were being taken on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And I'm afraid to say that many Christians today will be found innocent. There are far too many draft dodgers, absent without leave, in the business of the Lord out there working. But they're working, and those that are working, they are working in a draft dodger status, are working without proper giftings. They refuse to carry the appropriate weapons. Others don't even realize that there are weapons available against their enemy. So they use praise the devil out, dance the devil out, shout the devil out. All these are good in combination, but you got to have the standard. I'm going to miss tomorrow night. I'm not one of those short times to come in and say my thing and get out of here. I'm one of those stay through the whole duration. And I suspect those I invite to work with me in ministry, they just show up on their night. But my firstborn grandson is graduating from high school tomorrow at 11 o'clock in Dallas, so I got to leave out late tonight. That's the only reason I'm not here Monday. Amen. And this is a boy I held in my hand like that. He was limp. He had to have heart surgery and another kind of surgery. And about 8 years old, he was sitting in front of the TV watching a TV show, a Christian station, of course. And I walked in from outside. He was just crying down there. I said, "What's wrong, Gary?" He said, "Jesus came in my heart." So I said, "Oh, Lord, he's going to be in war the rest of his life." I said, "It's on now." So even his teachers told him that he was not academically strong enough to go to college, but he got a 4-year scholarship. And so, of course, my daughter said, "I know you're going to be here tomorrow." I said, "Oh, yeah." So that's the only reason you won't see me here tomorrow. It's not because it's a choice like that. I'll be here. This is my responsibility. And certainly my family has been permitted the blessings that from the camp for the release before that time for this celebration. So many use dance, shout, praise, and many other tools that will strengthen and encourage them in the battle. I have a few that be that are taught how to take it to the enemy's camp. And we got to attack. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, let's look at that and see what the scriptures has to say about the soldier. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verse 1 through 4 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warred entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. I believe that Paul here in God's word is placing a tremendous emphasis on the essential elements to become a good soldier of the Lord to Timothy. Fidelity, endurance, separation, and training to become able to teach others. In fact, each soldier should possess in like measure accountability, ability, responsibility, and authority. And let me add that these gifts are normally cultivated within you as you submit to your God-given mentors. No mentorship, no authorityship, regardless of your ability. Your commission will be more than likely in the like measure that you have in your ability to submit to authority." We've been hearing a lot in the last 24 hours on measure, and the same measure, in Matthew 7 chapter, judgments. We've been hearing a lot about it. And I think God is trying to share something to all of us on how important it is that we understand balance in His ministry. In Mark, the 16th chapter, we're all familiar with the commission. Let me read this to us, because there are new soldiers in our midst tonight that are excited and want to go to the next level. And I'm hoping that some of the things I share will help you. If I missed anything tonight, I want to make sure we are clear on one thing, that I am a submitted accountable servant, regardless of how many. I think I have close to 80-some, maybe close to 100 ministers that look to us apostolically around the nation. Some have pastors under them who have pastors under them, and I didn't find that out because I was in their business. I didn't even wasn't even looking to do nothing like that. If you just get busy, the wheel, don't try to reinvent the wheel. The wheel is... And then you look back and you say, my God, they got meetings all over the cities nowadays. Everybody trying to get together with this group and that group so they can form themselves. Now I'm the apostle. I'm telling you, God does it totally differently. Man is trying to reinvent the wheel. In Mark 16, chapter verse 15, the scripture says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. I was going to share a little bit tonight about the unclean spirit and mental illness in these insane asylums. All I'm going to tell you, as it pertains to that subject, is that come back in July, number one. And number two, find the unclean spirit and cast it out of them. Have I ever met or worked with people that were mentally insane? Yes, I have. I personally haven't seen anyone get totally restored, but an individual who worked with me for over 15 years, Ted Rush, who's deceased now, he did it. I saw him minister to somebody and they came out there saying something. So, don't think it's always by a piece of candy. I thank God for Shambach. That was wisdom. Listen to the Holy Ghost. But you can't allow people to just walk up and down your street talking to themselves and then they can quote the word to you, but they can't ask you for 15 cents because they don't. The enemy snatched their minds and think, well, I ain't going to be with them. And if I'd rather talk to Sister Jerry, I'll pray for her. She is so clean and nice. Okay? I come from the streets. I will always be in the streets. They will remember me as a minister of the streets when I leave this place. Because I change it not. I serve a God that changes not. Okay. All right, anyway. Okay, so we're not even going to talk about it tonight because the Lord changed that a little bit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall... the first sign is... They shall cast out demons. Obviously they're going to be speaking with tongues, so they shall speak with tongues. And then God placed the emphasis on they shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I tend to like to look at the serpent part because it gives the attitude of a real soldier of the Lord, which is an attitude of taking, snatching, grabbing, no ties, no peace, no giving back the spoils to the enemy after you won. Every believer has been commissioned according to the written scripture to handle these basic responsibilities. Preaching the gospel, casting out of evil spirits, laying hands on the sick, and these are considered in Scripture as the believer's ministry. Amen? Now, Jesus used the 70, Jesus used the 12, he even used the one who was not a member of the 12 in Mark 9:38. Y'all familiar with that? And John answered, saying, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followed not us. We stopped him, we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. Mark 9:38-40. Now, one of the things I learned in ministry over the years is that we're all going to be at different degrees of light. And so the enemy manages to sow tares amongst the wheat. He always has somebody to come tell you. You heard what Brother Jim did? He sounded like he was saying something over there. I don't think that was right. Do you like the way they handled the cafeteria? I just think they ought to put somebody else in charge of that. They don't love me in the prayer rooms because they pray for everybody but me. They don't do deliverance like they do over at Hedrick's. It's all kind of little... It really don't bother me that much. I'm just trying to be a little bit dramatic about it. Anyway, the Lord showed me some years ago that as we progress, that I would continue going where I like to go. I like small groups, prayer meetings, getting with people. I like going to places, take off the shirt and tie. Kind of real comfortable. I'm a jean wearer around the house, around the neighborhood. You can see me in any given day with past jeans and an old t-shirt on. And I'm comfortable like that. I'll dress too, but I mean, I'm real comfortable either way. So the clothes don't make the man. And many of the meetings we would go to, we had noticed that as we had got older in the Lord, my wife and I, and many of the leaders we work with, because the leaders I work with, we never discussed this. I'm talking about just me and my wife. We realized that we were advancing a little bit, and we couldn't abandon those who just didn't know they didn't have to shout as loud as we, you know, because they wasn't doing anything wrong. They just were shouting loud. The methods was correct and the application was correct. Just they're going to enforce that. We didn't know it like that, you know. And so we didn't think, you know, like to go to walk away and speak against them. It's kind of like today. Well, me and Carla's daughter was kind of laughing about, I think it was Carla's daughter, somebody I mentioned to her about, it's cold in there. I said, them air conditioners really putting out good. Woo, Lord. Because I can remember years ago when they were broke. I wonder how many said they was bad. I think the brother talked this morning on the power of the work tongue, huh? Don't go shame on me. I don't know anybody, nobody, nothing. Just repent if you say anything like that. But anyway, that's what the gospel is supposed to do, bring you good tidings. Repent! Woo! I don't know how that came up. But anyway, I didn't personally hear anybody say anything bad about the air conditioning, just that it was cold. And I said, yeah, I thought the air conditioning was putting out good. Yeah, I thought it was great. That's how we learn, people. We learn. So that'll never happen again. Amen? All right. Whoa. Okay. As basic as this ministry, the ministry of spiritual warfare, may appear to all of you, you have to submit it to your pastor's leadership. They must train you. They must prepare you with the understanding to every aspect of the ministry of spiritual warfare. You must submit it to leadership. You must. God does not confirm independent workers who work separate from authority. He does not confirm that. You should all be accountable to leadership. The enemy recognizes God's delegated authorities. He also can recognize rebellion to authority. The enemy can smell rebellion. In Exodus, the third chapter, we find, well, God is speaking to Moses to bring the people of God out of captivity. I've been doing not an extensive study, but I've been reading through Genesis and Exodus, and just really, I love the book of Exodus. It's my favorite book. I know it's a strange thing, a person in spiritual warfare, but that's just a book I love. I don't know, just fell in love with it many years ago, and then I fell in love with the tabernacles. Spent many years studying the tabernacles, and still am studying it, so. But here in Exodus, the third chapter, verse 7, the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in the world in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a land and a lodge, and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were in bondage, which is a picture of the believers in the church today. The Egyptians had Israel in captivity. They were in captivity over 400 years, under the rule and control of generations after generations of vicious leaders, the pharaohs. And the Pharaoh's reign over the Israelites is a picture of Satan's control over humanity separated from God. Israel was blessed because God heard Israel's cry. Now that's the cry out that Jerry talks about when she cries out to God for deliverance. Alright. He heard their cry to be loosed from captivity and return to an intimate relationship with Him. And God delivered them. Israel was in bondage a long time to the Egyptians. And over a period of time, they began to take on many of the Egyptians' ways, their culture, and their characteristics. I don't know, some of you probably had a long time that you were in the world before God saved you, and you may still have a lot of Egypt still in you. I know I still do, and I'm still being delivered daily. Amen? So when God saved or delivered Israel out of the control of Pharaoh and Egypt, the world, they came out saved, a picture of salvation today, but they still had a lot of Egypt, the flesh, in them. No differently, each of you have been saved from Egypt, the world, and the Lord is daily delivering you from the kingdoms that you once ruled in your kingdom. Yes, each of you were your own little gods, little pharaohs, you the man kingdoms. And you thought that you were in control. However, the kingdom of Satan really ruled you before Jesus saved you from this deception. And some of your kingdoms were the kingdoms of self. Me, myself, and I. Some of your kingdoms were, in my case, the kingdom of sports. The god of sports. Others had kingdoms of a promiscuous sexual lifestyle. Others had kingdoms of music and drugs. And others had kingdoms of unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, hatred, and pride. And many other kingdoms each of us walked in before God delivered us from Egypt, or from the world. Then you were saved, you found out you still needed some more deliverance. Amen? Salvation from your flesh daily. Each of us have been saved, being saved, and will be saved. Each of us will need a continued healings, a continued amount of deliverances in our life to be able to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. God desires that each of you bear your cross daily, and you cannot blame everything upon the devil. Although he's there always encouraging each of us to walk in the flesh. Deliverance has its place if you need deliverance. You can't crucify a demon, neither can you cast out the flesh. Neither can you do away with either one of them. And some ministries have. Luke 4:18, Scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of blind, of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's Luke 4:18. Let me take you to Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18, here at the commission that Jesus gave to the disciples. Remember, this is the commission that He's given to us also. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Jesus commissioned His disciples to teach all peoples, to teach all believers. And in verse 20 He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And one of the things that Jesus told the disciples to teach all believers was healing and deliverance, setting the captives free. Now you need to get that right in your belief system if you're going to continue in this work. You must get it right. You must say, I'm in it to win it. I'm not going to back away. I know that God has called me into this message, and I will go forward. That doesn't mean there's not going to be testings, trials, afflictions. But nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. I welcome these infirmities personally. And I'm not just saying it because Paul said it. It brings forth fruit for the harvest, fruit for the kingdom. If you'll die daily, if you'll bear your cross daily. In fact, the Scripture says if you don't deny yourself and pick up your bear your cross daily, then you can't, and follow Jesus, you cannot be a disciple of His. And this is the only way you can follow Him. You can't follow Him if you leave the denying yourself out, but you want to cross bear daily. You want to tell everybody, you want to correct everybody where they're making a mistake. Because you got that cross bearing word. I'm going to straighten them out, straighten her out. When you, I say something, let's go out to the restaurant and have a little meal. You say, let's go to All You Can Eat. You won't deny yourself. You're not looking at the whole picture. You just look at your picture. Okay, well, all right. That's the pastor part of me. That's why it's so important you have a mentor. Oh, Lord. You must have mentors. Okay, anyway, maybe that'll come up later. This is one of the basic commandments given to His disciples that they learned from their teacher, Jesus. Many believers are attempting to learn and practice the ministry of spiritual warfare without a teacher. Independent thinkers, independent workers who serve with no regard for authority. Oh yes, they have excuses for being in the closet with their little ministry. Pastor doesn't do deliverance. Pastor don't do it enough. Pastor don't do it right. Pastor won't start a deliverance team. I'm not on his team. Perhaps with these type of judgmental attitudes, they ain't really ready to become a member of the team. I am. I'm not a motivational speaker. Listening to any one of those tapes, I had enough of that mess. It was forced on me when I was in the world. We do have some people who got some pretty stinking thinking in the church. I mean, they just come up with all kinds of excuses to tear down leadership. I just don't understand. Well, I know I'm right. They didn't practice deliverance down there, but God used them to bring you where you are today. They were part of your growth process to bring you to degrees of light and maturity, instead of rewarding them with thanks and blessings so they can also equally grow. You tear them down because you know they didn't practice deliverance. You curse them because you know you're right, but you're wrong. You're not going to grow unless you learn submission. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, people. I know what I'm talking about. I come from a very prideful background. You know, like I say, we're strong military backers. My family is in everything. Everybody on my mother's side was in education. My mother had the first Afro-American television show in our city. She was the first woman to run for city council. NAACP, I came from a background where we were fighters. Okay? And so it's a lot of Jim had to die and still dying because that principle don't apply in the promised land. It worked in Egypt. On the other hand, there's others that the Lord has told them to separate from where they are because the ministries are not doing what they want, what God wants that person to have. But they don't separate. They get caught up in strife and contention. They really potential workers of iniquity who Jesus is going to say one day, I know you're not. I call them the weekend warriors. Oh yeah, they go have prayer meeting every Friday night over their house and casting out devil. Hallelujah. Get to all. Come out in the name of Jesus. Go back on churches to hear a little organ play, stand up across the heart two times, sit out. They think they're making a difference. If you're going to go out and complain and all that, you best go ahead and leave. You say you don't know how to find a place and read a couple of books I've written back there on it. Or just call us. We'll talk to you. But don't call us to ask a question and give us an answer and then ask us to answer the answer. I already know because my mama straight me out a lot of times for double talking to her. I had great experience from there because you could tell back in the 60s she must have been a powerful woman and a woman of God before she left here too. We loved our Tuesday night Astro games, and then after that she started saying, well, you're the pastor, it's time to have Bible study on Tuesday nights. So, okay, Mom, I just didn't want to, you know. Alright, I believe Matthew the 7th chapter, the Lord warns us in Matthew the 7th chapter verse I'm just trying to tell you a little bit about being a good soldier, what's going to be required of you. Remember, soldiers don't concern themselves about their fast as well. We're going to get there in a second. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, the scripture says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is heaven. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss tomorrow night to hear our pastor or minister on the standard, but I'll get the tape. Many will say to me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in our name? And in our name we cast out demons. And in our name done many miracles, healings. And then I was professed unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Whoa. I believe that these scriptures were written to warn soldiers. To warn soldiers in God's army that their commission to battle must not be limited to their ability and authority only, for the end result will produce evil fruit. Remember what I said earlier, that each soldier must, in like measure, possess responsibility, accountability, authority, and, let's see, check my notes. Responsibility, accountability, ability, and authority. And they must have this in like measure. If I ask you to take care of the grounds at the local church, and you are very happy and diligent to serve, and every 2 weeks you go out and you lawn the churchyard and you weed eat and do all those things, and you're faithful every other Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're there. I mean, you never miss and nothing like that. But on Sundays when I get there, I notice the paper all out in the driveway. I notice there's a leaky faucet and the air conditioning is freezing up. So, You have the authority for me. You have the ability. You're accountable, but you're not responsible. And we have too many people that's not responsible in spiritual warfare because they don't have to be accountable to nobody. So they don't have nobody that can rain on their parade. They had nobody fight on them right quick, and I had it. From apostolic leadership all the way down to my local church leadership, they have jumped in my case. But see, some of us, we tell you something, and you're going to go tell this one, and this one's going to tell this. By that time, the story is going to be loud on three times. And you have five people don't like this one, eight people don't like that one. That's what's going on today. These things ought not be so, especially amongst the soldiers, because the Lord says that He's going to tell you, I know you're not. You sow iniquity, rebellion, and lawlessness in my ranks. Whoa. Fruit is something that is produced from a root. From the root to the fruit. No differently, each of us must get God's word from our heads to our hearts for it to bear good fruit. In every place in scriptures where Jesus gave the commission, three things are common. That is the preaching of the gospel, the casting out of evil spirits, and the healing of the sick. All leadership should possess these basic fundamental works. And all believers should also. All believers. I can remember Pastor Dean mentioned once that there was a ministry that was, the pastor told him, he said, I just don't understand, Brother Dean, every time you come here and you teach on the ministry of spiritual warfare, the people just get excited. It just goes on for 6, 7 weeks. Everybody will pray for everybody. Everybody will lay hands. Well, it's simple. It's because it's the believer's ministry. The people ought to get excited about doing what they've been called to do. By the way, I'm not speaking about gifts that of the Spirit or holding a governmental office in the church. Also, deliverance doesn't qualify you for leadership or a government office, even though many people think so, because most of the people that separate from a church group that God has placed them. Anyway, God is the one who places us. He's the one that's supposed to determine where we go. We tend to want to say, God, I left because they ain't right. And many people, particularly those who learn the believer's ministry, because it is dynamic, it is dramatic, it is spiritual, it is with power, they use that to justify the start of church. So we have a shift from leadership, apostolic-wise, as delegated by God, to control and strange fire. They just ain't dying out there like Abihu and how to pronounce those names? So we got strange fire in the deliverance ministry now. Such things we never would have thought of. It ought not be. We ought to be able to learn how to work with others and submit our giftings. Lake Hamilton is not going to advertise, nor have they ever advertised, that they provide any apostolic covering. But if you don't have, and they don't ask me to do this, if you don't have an apostolic leadership that you're accountable to, and I'm not talking about somebody you send $110 a year to every year in California that you don't even have a cell phone number. I'm telling you, you better get out of cover quick. I'm not telling you to do that for here. But I'm telling you, I know a lot of people have over the years as they've heard the message of apostolic authority and the importance of submission. But to be out there, and once again, don't just do it because you want to be on a piece of paper. This is something from the heart. This is not from the head. I'm telling you that you're not going to prosper in your apostolic walk for God and the ministry of deliverance if you do not understand mentorship. And so I welcome correction from my leader. I welcome correction because it places me in, actually it lengthens my life. Because in the same measure that I honor my father, it's going to go well with me. As my natural father, God the Father, my spiritual fathers, the principle applies, Deuteronomy 5:16, it's going to go well with me. So I don't even have to try to make it happen. I'm so happy to make it happen. I'll surrender this right now. You can take over. Just that quick. And I'm just delighted that God is restoring His voice so I can hear more. Because I'm kind of waiting for Him to be able to tell me I'm ready so he can teach at the conference down in Texas. And I'm saying, well, Lord. So I'm saying, so I keep shooting that 15 minutes in there every year. Oh, Lord. I'm speaking tonight about the soldiers, the soldiers' ministry or the believers' ministry that must once again be submitted to the oversight of the church leadership. That is the only way you're going to be able to really take your cities, take your nations for Jesus, is that you would understand authority. The Lord has given us, behold, He said, I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt or harm you. And there are many people in the church today, in the church, that are bound by these serpents and these scorpions, which are a picture of demonic, or type of demonic spirits. But the Lord is raising up truth about the existence of these demonic powers and their preference of inhabiting humans. See, it was a great emphasis before we started learning spiritual warfare. We thought they were inhabiting only just the various temples and idols. But these demons have no respect of persons. And they will, they have, and they will continue to try to inhabit Christians and non-Christians alike. But the Lord is separating these broken captives. He's calling them to a land of new doctrinal understandings, to ministries that are in agreement with the deliverance message. Yes, many are going to go after the prophetic. Others are going to go after the seed faith, money hungers, or mongers, whatever we call ministry. But anyway, but God is going to direct those that have Exodus 3:7-9 cried out to His message of spiritual warfare. So you're here because you cried out, and God heard that cry. It was an unselfish cry.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.